We have a guest speaker who is a brother in Christ that most of us know pretty well, Randy Long, a missionary in Asia that has been an incredible brother in the Lord for quite a while and has a great message from the Lord. So we want to welcome Randy.
Great. Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that I can be here today with you all. And I want to thank you, Horizon. You all have been supporting Heidi and I for the last 10 years, I think, as we've been serving the Lord. Of course, first we were in Africa for a little bit, and then been in India since 2011, serving the Lord in all kinds of different environments and ups and downs of what India is. As you know, India is a place of where the Hindus believe in 330 million gods, you know, and then you got the Muslims and you got the Buddhists and the Jains and the Sikhs, and if you ever wondered what it's like to live in the middle of everything that's not Jesus, you know, just come to Delhi, and yet the Lord is there, you know. Today, I want to talk a little bit about our reason for hope. There's a lot that's wrong with the world, a lot that's going wrong, that has been going wrong, and it could lead you to feel a little fearful, or it could lead you to feel like a lack of hope. But I just want to remind us, kind of like going back to basics, our reason for hope in the world. And so, if you turn with me to John chapter 1. We'll start there. One of the things I really appreciated about Horizon, about Calvary Chapel churches, is just going through the Word of God line by line. Pastor George gave me some freedom to do whatever you want today, which was amazing. And so I'm actually going to pull from a lot of different scriptures together today to just remind us of our reason for hope. The reason is, you know, the reason of Jesus being the light who shines in the darkness. Lord, we thank you for the day that we have and the privilege that we have of hearing your word, coming to you to receive from you what you give us, so that then we can go out into the world and share what you have for the world. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's hope here, because the light has come into the darkness. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Interesting, if you look at verse 5 and if you compare different translations, it's one of these interesting verses where you'll find a lot of different translations have a lot of different ways of wording this, and it comes down to the Greek word that's there and how it's used and all that kind of stuff. But some older versions will say the darkness did not comprehend it or did not appreciate it, couldn't understand it. The word here is grasp. Like, the darkness can't grasp the light. Grasp meaning like understand it, or grasp meaning like conquer it. I think this is one of these places where the Gospel of John, where the Apostle John, it happens frequently, where he says a very simple word, and you think, well, do you mean this or do you mean that? And usually the answer is both. Yes. We know that the darkness can't understand the light sometimes. We'll read about the God of this world has blinded the eyes of many to understand the gospel. But the more modern translations, I think, are more correct in saying the real thing here is the darkness cannot overcome the light, has not overcome it in the past. And like the New Living Translation, I think, really gets at the heart. This is the darkness can never extinguish the light. The darkness can never extinguish the light. And it's, you know, we all know that's such a beautiful thing, that you can step into a completely dark room and light one match, and suddenly there's light in the room. Anyone from anywhere in the room can see that light, and soon you'd be able to see other parts of the room. You know, but you can't step into a bright room and shine darkness around, right? You know, a little bit of light will dispel the dark. And the Lord is telling us, reminding us, our hope lies in the fact we have hope because Jesus is the light and Jesus shines in the dark, and the darkness overcomes the light, has overcome it, will overcome it, always. This word is really huge, you know, right here in the beginning of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. It's clear that the Holy Spirit has inspired John to remind everyone of creation. You know, and if you think about it, or if you turn back to, you know, Genesis chapter 1, it's clear the Lord's trying to say, hey, I'm talking about, remember back at creation? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless, chaotic, no order. You ever feel like life is chaotic, no order, right? Out of control? Well, the earth was formless and void, empty. You feel like, wow, there's an emptiness, something supposed to be here that's not. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But that, I don't know, that sounds like America to me. That sounds like many places. Wow, there's a lot of chaos, a lot of things that are supposed to be there that aren't, and darkness is on the face of the deep. And what should our response be? You know, should we be hopeless? Should we be fearful? No. No, because the Word of God says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. And I can't tell you how many times it was encouraging to me and to Heidi to say, you know, we're sitting in Delhi, in America, Delhi, right? We're sitting in Delhi and living between two protest sites as the Indian government had passed laws that were discriminatory against Muslims, and the students on the Muslim campus where near where we lived, and Muslim, you know, we lived in a neighborhood of 350,000 Muslims. And so at the college, they're protesting, and over here, they're protesting, and in between, the police and the army are doing everything they can to squash them down. And we're feeling like we are about to see the next genocide. You know, not the Jews this time, we're about to see Indian Muslims face genocide. And experts internationally were saying there are 8 steps to genocide, and Delhi was like at North India was at step 7, and I can tell you more about it later, about how the Indian government is trying to do everything they can to push this people out so that we can crush them. And God called us to reach those people, and we love them. And we're living in the middle of 2 protest sites, stun grenades going off, and wow, it felt like chaos, and what's supposed to be there isn't there, and darkness over the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is there. He hasn't left us. And I want you to know, too, your prayers, your encouragements, just that monthly regularness of knowing, yep, Horizon is with us. You extended God's grace to us. And we knew, like, okay, God is here because people are praying. And God is in your lives, right? You know, I mean, as you've got crazy stuff going on and around in the U.S., whatever, I want you to remember the Spirit of God is there even when it's dark, even when it's formless, even when it's void. It's not like God isn't there in the dark. He's there. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and morning, the first day. And it's an interesting pattern that kind of gets set up. I don't want to say this is clearly what the scripture is supposed to be saying by evening and morning. It was just a thought that came to me, so go study it and let's find out, you know, together. But it was interesting to me that in Genesis, you get evening and morning, the first day, and evening and morning, the second day, evening and morning, the third day. You know, we tend to think of like the day starts with sunrise and ends at night, but you know, the Jewish tradition is like the day starts at sundown and it goes, so it's an evening and then morning creates the day. And I just kind of wonder, I don't know, but I kind of wonder if God is setting up kind of like a daily reminder to us that the light overcomes the darkness. The light overcomes the darkness. The light overcomes the darkness. You know, through life, I find that there is this light and dark that happens at the same time and happens in our lives, ups and downs, light and dark. And Jesus talked about the wheat and the weeds, told a parable about the farmer that planted a field and his enemies planted weeds among the wheat. And his servant said, oh, some weeds are coming up with the wheat. What should we do? Should we pull out all the weeds? And the farmer says, no. If you pull up the weeds now, you'll ruin all the wheat. Let them both grow until harvest time. Then take the weeds out and then gather the wheat. And later he explains it and he says, oh, the wheat are the sons of the kingdom, the sons of light. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And both are going to grow until the day of judgment. So, there's a good God and he's strong and he's all-knowing, and yet there's bad stuff in the world. Yeah, that's the message of the Bible. There's an all-powerful God who knows everything, and there is bad stuff in the world. Adam and Eve ate that fruit, and darkness was allowed into the world, and Jesus came to make a solution, to make a change, so that eventually, at the end of time, it's all going to be solved. But right now, we do have patches of darkness. You know, someone said there was a weatherman that said, you know, today there will be general lightness with scattered darkness under bridges and trees. You know, it's like, well, here's our life, okay? Guess what? The Word of God does not tell us that we are going to get perfect light 100% of the time, all the time in our lives. You know, you all know Heidi passed away in July. The pandemic came, closed our business down. I felt it was good to come back to the U.S. Had to lay off 11 employees, had to leave our country, come back here. Scott with Mission E4 passed away at the end of January due to COVID. And we are, you know, it's a little bit like Job. It's like, wow, okay, there's a lot of darkness. But what do? You know, we rely on Jesus. We don't lose hope. We know the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the deep, and he's speaking words of light. He's speaking words of light. So, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and verse 14 of John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus steps into the darkness to take us out of the darkness into the light. God is with us in the middle of the dark. I think we know, but it's just like coming back to basics. What do you do when you're surrounded by the dark, when the waves come and knock you over, and then you stand up and the wave knocks you over and over and over again? Okay, you got to find the rock foundation. And it's like, all right, Jesus is the rock. And we, you know, we could think back to Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5. We can think ahead to the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, verses 1 to 5, that talks about the tree of life, that talks about the river of water, that talks about the being with God in the place where there is no more night. There is no more curse. There is no more night. And people don't need a lamp or even the sun to light the way because God is their light. And that's where he's bringing us. We know he wins in the end. We know he wins in the end. You know, I loved, again, a little cartoon that I saw. A guy was, he's on the subway looking really down and discouraged. And then the next scene you see him and he's got this surprised look, happy. And the caption says, 5:53 p.m., George remembers that he will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. It's like, oh yes, right? God wins in the end. The light always overcomes the dark. The light will overcome the dark. So I don't need to be afraid. I just need to know, okay, yep, we're going to have light, we're going to have dark for a while, but eventually the light will win. And so what do? I need to stay in the light of Jesus and invite the light of Jesus into my heart. Step one, right? So let me just, as I said, I'm going to go a few places in Scripture. If you want to turn to Colossians chapter 1, they say that the great hymns of the faith pull from the whole Scriptures and bring them together. And my friend Matt tells me, Randall, I love it when you share from the Scriptures because you always preach from Genesis to Revelation in every sermon. I'm like, God bless you, George. He's smiling, I'm sure. Okay, anyway, Colossians chapter 1, the light of God dispelling the darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, speaking about God. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. This is where it all starts, isn't it? How we combat the darkness, how we thrive in seasons of darkness is first we receive the light of Jesus, right? We let him transfer us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We need to remind ourselves we are deeply, deeply loved by Christ who left heaven to come to us, to speak into our darkness. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past, the new has come. And so we say, Lord, would you come and look in my heart? Like Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know me. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Would you, God, would you look in my heart? Is there any fear, any lack of hope, any darkness, discouragement? God, am I going to things that I shouldn't go to sort of self-medicate my fears? You know, whatever it might be, TV, alcohol, shopping, drugs, pick your drug of choice, anger. Lord, I need you. Would you shine your light into my heart? Put your holy finger on the things in my life that are pulling me away from you and the things that I run to instead of you. Turn my face to your face to see the light so that I can run after you with a free heart. The joy of the gospel is that Jesus comes to those who need him. And thank God we all can say that, yeah, I need him. So what do we do when we're surrounded in darkness, when we feel there's a lot of darkness? Well, the first thing is we run to the light. We receive the light of Jesus in our heart. And then what do? Okay, now I'm filled with light. My heart is clean. I really am seeing the face of Christ. Wow, then what do? It's kind of counterintuitive. If really I know the end is secure, I know heaven's coming, I know he's going to win, I know I'm okay in the end, what do? Well, then it sounds funny, but then we run to the darkness. Not away from the light, but there's an old Chris Rice song, carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn. Carry your candle, right? For all to see it. Take your candle, go light your world, right? So what's the next thing we do when we're surrounded by darkness, right? After we've first run to the light, we run to Jesus, he fills our hearts with his light. Then, counterintuitively, we run to the darkness, right? We don't build a bunker and say, gather all the light together. We actually become like stars that shine in the night, stars that can make constellations that give people like the ability to like direct their light, their lives, to find the light, right? I've said this before, but sometimes I think about flashlights, and I was talking to Heidi years ago about this. I said, I got this really nice new flashlight for Christmas a while back, a few years ago, brand new, shiny flashlight, looks so great. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. It looked so nice. I was like, I don't really want to put this in my toolbox, down with my other, because you take the, you bring it down into the basement where things, there's a lot of cobwebs and stuff. I know eventually this flashlight's going to get banged up. It's going to get dirty, So look, it looks so nice. I would just like to keep it upstairs in the bright sunshine, But a flashlight that stays in the sunshine is pretty useless. let's take the flashlight out in the sun and turn, you can hardly tell if it's on or not. And I think sometimes there's a real natural tendency that we have that is like, it's dark out there. Gather all the flashlights together. Let's have a flashlight convention. It's okay to get together. It's okay to charge your flashlight. It's okay to get together sometimes. Be encouraged about being a flashlight. Learn how to be a better flashlight, right? But if all the flashlights stay in the sunshine, what's the purpose of the flashlight? Eventually, we got to carry your candle. We got to get out in the dark, because that's what you were made to do, to be like Jesus, who, like that word spoken into the dark, went into the dark, because now you're filled with him to carry him into the world. And you could look at John chapter 17, again, these are basic things that we know, but it's nice to be reminded. John, just before Jesus was returning to go to heaven, he was praying to the Father and praying for us, praying for his disciples and all who would believe in him through their word. And as Jesus is praying to the Father, he said, verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. That means make them holy, fill them with your light. Your word is truth. And then verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus is saying, don't be of the world, right? But be in the world, be sent. You are sent as he was sent. It's really crazy, the Lord, it's really kind of crazy that we know that in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And we saw that. I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But go to Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. How is that? Because we have Jesus in us. Exactly, right? Because we have Jesus in us, the light of the world, then we are the light of the world. Now, if I take my flashlight and I cover it over with like a black a solid black cloth or something, is it going to shine the light? Not much. I mean, right? Or if I could cover it over with a blue film, okay, I might shine a blue light, right? Or a red film, I might shine a red light, right? But it's designed to just shine the bright white of Jesus. And that's what you're designed, to shine the bright white of Jesus. And so Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So what does that look like? Well, I praise God so much for Horizon, because I just being here, even just hearing your announcements, reading the bulletin, I'm like, gosh, these guys get it. They know what it's like. It's like, okay, well, on Wednesdays, we're giving food to the people who need food. And we've got the radio ministry, and we're broadcasting the word of Jesus, right? And we're going across the street and around the world and supporting the work of God all over the place and ministering in your workplaces, with your neighborhood, right? From my own experiences, yeah, whether it's my friend Matt, who would get together with a couple of guys on a Saturday morning and say, hey, let's pray and ask God where we should walk today. And they'd go into Fitchburg and say, oh, well, I think maybe we should go down to the railroad tracks. And they go to the railroad tracks and, you know, three guys, I mean, they're not being foolish, three guys, and they go down to the railroad tracks and they find four or five guys down there whose life had gotten caught up in all kinds of chaos and emptiness. And they, like the Spirit of God, said, we're going to go into the dark. We're going to hover in the dark. We're going to shine a light. And they start talking to Rudy and to Bob and whatever. And then they go back the next week. And then they go back later. And pretty soon, hey, Rudy's coming to church. And pretty soon, Matt's church is involved in a sobriety house. Right? And now one of his buddies... it wasn't all about the railroad station. One of his buddies connects with two other buddies, and they're like, hey, you know, I've got some extra money. I was planning to invest in some investment property. And instead of just buying a house and flipping it and earning more money, why don't we buy a house that we could use as like a halfway house for unwed moms, like, and help them like work their way through this. And like, that's incredible. Just people who are filled with the light of Jesus, filled with Jesus, saying, what does it look like to be Jesus in the world? Pretty decent, right? Going across the street. Maybe it's getting a cup of coffee with someone who isn't of your political persuasion and getting to know them and saying, hi, my name's Randy. What's your name? What's your life like? Tell me about your family. You know, when Heidi and I go to India, it's interesting. We don't get to meet with all of the white American Republican Christians. You know, like, that's kind of like taking the flashlight and going, right? We meet with Indian Muslims. And we start with, my name's Randy. What's your name? Tell me about your family. What's important to you? You know, there are a lot of things that we need to say, okay, let that go, let that go, let that go, let that go. You know, I'll tell you, by the way, if you want a quick lesson on reaching Muslims for Jesus, religion is like a water bottle. And the Muslim water bottle is like gold-studded, you know, titanium, amazing, the most amazing water bottle you've ever seen. You will never out-religion in a Muslim. They pray five times a day. They spend 1 month a year fasting. You can never be more religious than a Muslim. They've got religion down. The problem is they don't have water in their water bottle. Jesus said, you know, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me. Now, I'll tell you, most American Christians, God bless you, God bless me, our water bottle's like this one. It's kind of cheap plastic, looks kind of bumped up. Like, you know, they're like, you're like, yeah, I fast. I fasted for a day once. You know, no, we can't impress them that. But If you came to India and you came to visit us, we would tell you what we tell everyone who comes to visit. Come talk to our Muslim friends, talk to our students, and you don't need to impress them with the outside of your water bottle. All you need to do is take the cap off and just talk about Jesus and the difference that he makes in your life. Wow, you know, my mom got sick last week, and I prayed, and it was just so amazing to know that Jesus heard me. And they're like, Jesus heard you? You know. So that's why Abel, my friend Abel, came to me one day, and he said, I want you to teach me about Christianity. And he's got his Muslim hat and his beard, and his job was to teach little Muslim kids how to be good Muslims. And I'm like, sure, well, we can study the Bible. He's like, sure, that's fine. So he starts studying with me. 2 years later, I mean, he's like, I believe Jesus died on the cross and all that kind of stuff. Still trying to figure out the Trinity, but he's like, I believe Jesus died on the cross and all this. And I'm like, Abel, why did you ever come to me anyway in the first place to ask me to teach you about Christianity? And he said, well, I saw you and your wife and some of the Christian guests that you had visit. He said, and I couldn't understand how you could live the way we're supposed to live. I'm like, love and joy and peace and patience, and kindness and goodness, gentleness, self-control. I was like, oh, fruit of the Spirit, right? It's like, I couldn't understand how you can live the way we're supposed to live when you don't have the Quran. And he said, and we've got the Quran and we can't live that way. And then he said, the only thing I could figure was that it was the effect of the prophet Jesus in your life. And I'm like, snap, that's it. Like, that's the water, right? That's the water. Let your light shine. And I think that's just the third point I wanted to bring up is, you know, if I have any concern for my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's that please, please, when the world is surrounded in so much darkness, don't shine anything but Jesus. Don't shine anything but Jesus. The world doesn't need to know if I'm a Democrat or if I'm a Republican. You know, forgive me. The world doesn't need to know if I'm Baptist or Presbyterian, right? The world doesn't need to know what fitness plan I use or my diet plan. The world doesn't need to know a ton of things. Like, I've got great ideas about economics, and I could get into so many debates with my friends in India, whatever, if I wanted. The world doesn't need my anger. The world needs Jesus. It's Jesus, and he's the one that has the light. And I'll go to 2 Corinthians 4. The Apostle Paul knew something about spreading the gospel. You know, I think of the hordes of Romans that were pagan and crucifying Christians and doing all kinds of horrible stuff. Pretty dark in the early first 200 years of Christianity. You know, the Pope is in Rome right now. You know, like how did Rome change from pagan Rome to at some point being like the center of Christianity? It wasn't because people picked up swords. It was because people lived like Jesus. And the Apostle Paul knew something about this. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And you might think, yeah, but the world is so dark, like people just don't get it. They're blind. Well, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. But notice this, verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And I just think, that's something we can do. I'm actually not smart enough to solve all the problems in the world. Yeah, I used to think I was, but I'm really not. But I do know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that is something I can take to the world. I can tell my story, right? I can say, hey, you know, I wasn't a druggie. I wasn't an alcoholic. I was a pastor's kid, you know. And still I found out, unless Jesus is living in my heart, I'm not going to heaven. And someone said, you know, Jesus can live in your heart. He can bring himself, his light, into your darkness of your heart and remove the darkness. How do you do that? How do you get Jesus to live in your heart? That sounds cool. Well, you just ask him. I was just a kid. I'm like, really? You just ask him? Simple enough kid-like faith. All right, well, Jesus, come into my heart. Live in my heart. I want to have you forever. I want to be yours forever. It's been an amazing 50 years, you know, of my life that, I guess 43 years since I prayed that prayer. I felt he never left me. Been through lots of thick and thin, up and down, light and dark, right? But he's always been there. And I think that's pretty amazing. You know, if we want to know what it looks like to shine the light of Jesus, I think we need to be in the Word, reading the Word. We know the basic gospel message, proclaiming that. And then it's going back to basics, folks. It's right? It's going back to basics. Be Jesus. And what does it look like to be Jesus? Well, go to Matthew 25. Whatever you do to the least of these, you've done to me. If you see the hungry, feed them, like you guys are doing on Wednesday mornings, right? You see the sick, visit them. Bring them medicine, right? You see those in prison, visit them. You see those without clothes, give it to them, right? That's what Jesus does, right? Or go to Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek, right? That's what it's going to look like. Blessed are those who mourn. Wow, I'm really sad with how this affected you. Wow, it breaks my heart to see how maybe even your own choices are wrecking your life, right? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the peacemakers. Let's be Jesus and shine Jesus. And knowing that the end is secure, then we can be bold. We know the light's going to overcome the darkness. And Jesus, the light of the world, lives in us, so let's boldly go into the darkness and shine his light. Carry your candle, right, so that all can see him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your kingdom come. We thank you for your will being done. Use us, Lord. God, just remove our fear. Thank you that you surround us with light and that nothing can take us from your hand. Use us and send us out into that dark world so that others who, like us, were once blind, can see. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go into a time of communion. And so if you have the elements, you can get those ready. It's a good thing we're going to live in heaven forever, you know, because it's like you want to talk about Jesus, and then you're just like, isn't he so wonderful? There are so many things. You could spend eternity talking about him. Oh, really? You could. Just think of Jesus who said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for others, but to serve. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for others. And so on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take it and eat it in remembrance of me." We thank you, Lord, for your broken body, willing to be crushed for our iniquities, willing to be broken, willing to bear the weight of the pain of a broken world. Fill us with your willingness, Lord, to suffer that others might not need to suffer. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit again from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And Lord, we remember your blood shed for us and the promise that your blood makes the way for us to be in heaven with you in your kingdom forever. Take and drink. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Let us also be broken bread and poured out wine for a world in need, not because it's our duty, but because it's our joy, our privilege of being blood-bought, sanctified sinners, children of God, thrilled to be yours. May your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen. I just wanted to share real briefly a little bit, too, about Mission E4 and our work in India, real brief. As I mentioned, Scott passed away at the end of January, but the mission, of course, is going on. There are 3,000 kids in Haiti who are still getting education and food and clothes and medical care and all that kind of thing. I was able to go down to Haiti in February with Taryn, Scott's son, for a memorial service that they had there. And if you hadn't seen it, if you want to go online to the Mission E4 Facebook page, Facebook page and YouTube page, either one, you can see the memorial service there. Taryn translates some of it into, there was some that was in the U.S. you'll see and some in Haiti. He translates the Haitian portion into English. But there was one of the nurses there shared how there was one of the teachers shared, one of the students had at the school, one of the schools had come and said, "Oh no, my life is really over. I'm going to die." And the teacher said, "What do you mean you're going to die?" And she said, "Well, if Pastor Scott has gone to be with Jesus, then soon everything's going to close down. And then, you know, I won't be able to come to school. And if I can't come to school, then I'm not going to have the meal that I eat every day. And I'm not going to have the medical care. And I'm going to die." And Taryn said, you know, hearing this, he was like, you know, it was even a reminder to him, like, this sponsoring of the children through Mission E4 and whatnot is, like, this isn't just about giving kids some extra, you know, oh, like, as if they're American kids that get a little extra education. It's like, for some of these kids, this is the meal that they're going to eat, you know. But the teacher was correct and good in that she said, you know, honey, you're not going to die because this is the work of God. It's not the work of Scott Long. And Mission E4, you know, hires 300 people in Haiti that are all working, and the work is continuing. It's not, you know, it's not a Scott Long thing. It's not a Taryn Long thing. It's the body of Christ. It's Horizon Christian Fellowship and others that have all been working together through New England, throughout the U.S. to really make this possible. And so just the work is continuing. The board of directors are very involved and everything. And so that's really awesome. And ministry in Worcester, inner city outreach is still happening. So, but if you want to learn more about them or know more, you can check back if there's a table there. If you haven't sponsored a child and you want to, you can do that back there. With India, again, lots and lots of thanks for you all in supporting us. Like I said, the pandemic and whatnot did close our school, and I can update more later in person with you all, but I did turn the desks and chairs over to our longest running Muslim employee, and he's got 120 students coming again now that things are, well, we're starting to open up until the most recent spike again. But he was like, yeah, if you have any foreigners who would like to come and talk to our students, I'd love to. So it's really kind of cool that, well, our school closed and I kind of had to leave for a bit and all this kind of stuff. But there is still an opportunity there to have believers go and share with Muslims in that neighborhood. And another teacher started another institute, and he's like, I heard that the first institute had some guests coming. Can you send some guests to me too? And so like, oh, that's good. I'm actually going to be spending the next 2.5 years working in the U.S. to mobilize more people to work overseas. Something that was on Heidi's heart and my heart was, if we look at unreached people groups, the majority of unreached people groups in the world are in India and in the Muslim majority countries. Kind of cool that the Lord, before we knew that, the Lord had already called us to reach Muslims in India. I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. But it was part of our heart to just invite more people to come and serve the Lord overseas and partner with Indian Christians to multiply our work and multiply their work, help them cross the line from kind of Christian background or Hindu background believers and help them to learn how to reach out to Muslims in the area. I'm actually going to be partnering with a partner ministry that we've had called Frontiers, and I'm going to be working with them for the next 2.5 years to say, well, all right, Heidi's with Jesus and Heidi's not on the field. Well, let's get as many people as we can then on the field. And it's probably going to take 20 people to just replace her, but we're going to try to round up as many as I can. And then my plan is late 2023 to launch back to India myself in a new capacity to try to, again, work with the local believers to spur on work. Some of our team members we had there, because we were heading up a team of 12 people, some of them are already working with local believers in that. Again, I can tell you more in the back if you'd like, but right now, as you know, the last thing I'll just say is do pray for India. I'm sure you're seeing it on the news and everything, that they're just going through a horrific time with the pandemic. Thought they had gotten out of it, and mid-February, they were like, hooray, only 11,000 new cases a day in India, which was probably underreported, but, you know, we all know the last week or so, it's been like 350,000 a day, and I'm on some WhatsApp text messages with my church in Delhi that, a month ago, the text messages on the group used to be, happy birthday, Mohit, hey, we're having a prayer meeting on Tuesday, and the last 3 weeks, I'm getting like 2 people a day are dying, you know, and it's like, we're having another funeral, pray for this person, and so that's just my home church in India, you know. We have a teammate who's down in South India working with a clinic, and they're working on gathering international funds and supplies to do home health care and telehealth because the hospitals are overwhelmed. If it's something that you want to, you know, I don't normally make an ask, but if it's something that you felt like, hey, I'm seeing the news, how can I help out? Today, I will be sending out an email of like 3 different places that people could send funds or order supplies on Amazon and send them, and I know that they will go to believers that are actually reaching everyone. They're not only reaching Christians, they're reaching everyone, but people who are actually making a difference in the pandemic there. So we're just like, time to step into the darkness, you know, ta-da, here we go. So anyway, there's a table in the back. I can talk with you. There's a little sign-up sheet. If you want more updates or to help about India, just put your name and email, and I will include you on the email that I send. Someday we'll plan a time I can share with you all more. But it's nice. I feel a little bit like I'm home coming back here with you guys, and look forward to carrying the light together here, there, and everywhere. So thanks, and God bless.